Yeah. Ah, it's a game five growl. Boy, you would have saved that Sean McVay bit for us, John.
Oh, I because it's a great spot, and it actually made me buy chunky soup.
Yeah. Yeah, I just it didn't in the flow of the show. I didn't recognize it. It was an awkward moment, but McVay will be back next week anyway, and we will officially laugh at all his jokes. All right, joining us right now is my not step. You hear me talk about this? So my not stepdad Leo, he'll never be my stepdad. He lives with my mom, and he is a huge Bay Area guy. He's a huge 49ers fan, a Notre Dame fan, a Golden State Warriors fan, and unfortunately, he is a San Francisco Giants fan. So I wanted to bring him on here for just a couple of minutes to let him vent a little bit. Not stepdad Leo, how are you?
Good, Steve. How are you guys doing? John, I think I've heard your lie already today, but I'm not going to say it now.
Oh, yeah, don't do it, Leo, because we're giving away Laker tickets for it. But, hey, Leo, you got my number. Text it to me. I'll tell you if you're right. Hey,
okay,
Leo,
thanks.
let me ask you this. I've met you many times. You seem like a very nice man. Did something happen in your childhood? Did you have a traumatic experience? What turned you to the dark side and had you decide to root for the lying, cheating, bike-stealing Giants?
It isn't that. It is the unbelievable, horrible Tommy Lasorda.
What's wrong with Tommy Lasorda?
I had an experience with Tommy's wife, who he asked to have call when I was in an executive position with a bank to try and get him a loan. And because I said, I really can't do that. I mean, he used Joe, she called, not Tommy.
Yeah.
And that's the way that whole thing went. And I said, okay, that's it. They're over. That's done. No way am I ever going to be a Dodger fan. And I never was anyway, but that just confirmed it.
Wow.
So when you text me, you often describe them as da bums. What is the
dem bums? That,
dem
that
bums?
Comes from when they were in, D-E-M-B-U-M-S.
Got
and
it.
That comes from when they were in Brooklyn. And they were referred to in the papers as dem bums.
So
yeah, that's a term of endearment, Mace.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Now, you get very upset when I call them the Frisco Giants, right?
Oh, don't you ever do that again. Your mother will never talk to you.
She's got to be rooting for the Dodgers, isn't she?
Not in this house.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah, really, really.
You've turned Donna to the dark side. Wow.
I am so unconcerned about tonight's game because we have Logan Webb taking you guys down that Donna and I are going to attend a community theater production of The Producers.
Really? So you're not going to be watching the game?
No, I have no concern about it, Steve.
What kind of fan
are you? The
Giants
are winning.
This is for the 110th win of the year. And have you never heard the name Corey Knebel?
Well, I've heard it, yeah, as a reliever.
So no fear, you're going to see a community theater production of The Producers.
You got it.
Wow. I question your fandom. I question your fandom on that, not stepdad Leo. Well, Leo, enjoy your show. Enjoy your loss.
Steve, I hope you have fun with that now because that will not occur.
All right. Well, we will see. We'll see what happens in Frisco.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you talked to Donna at least for the last time.
All right. Thanks, not stepdad Leo.
Take it easy, Steve. John,
see
you
Leo.
Also.
He's otherwise a decent guy. Like, I'm happy my mom met him. But it's all the baggage he carries with him. That's a lot of baggage for me to deal with. I mean, he texts me after a Rams loss. He texts me after a USC loss. He texts me after a Dodgers loss, after a Lakers loss. I mean, he's just nonstop. And I try to be nice about it. But finally, I went to the Frisco thing, which is the thing that really upsets him. I think people from San Francisco hate it when you call it Frisco.
Oh, that's a fact. I mean, that's the number one. They know you're not from there if you refer to them as Frisco. They can't stand it. It's like when you refer to USC as Southern Cal. People from USC hate if you use Southern Cal.
Yeah, they do. It's on their official
program.
By the
way, did you see the USC news?
No.
Tim Tessalone, who has been the sports information director at USC for, I think, 40 years, is retiring.
Really?
That's a big loss. That's a big loss to USC. He's been great.
I mean,
I don't know anybody in the media who doesn't like Tim.
Yeah, he's a great guy. We've worked with him a lot over the years. Well, he deserves to. Maybe he's getting out at the right time. Maybe he's getting out at the right time because things are not pretty over there. We'll wait to see who the next head coach is. So if you're just tuning in and you don't know, we expected Julio Urias to start for the Dodgers tonight. Great Mexican left-handed starting pitcher, won 20 games for us this year. Instead, Dave Roberts and specifically Andrew Friedman, I'm going to say this again, do not blame Dave Roberts for this. This is clearly an Andrew Friedman decision. They're going with an opener, Corey Knebel. And what they're trying to do is to make Gabe Kapler use his lefties early in the game so that late in the game, the Dodgers will have matchup advantages. It's complicated. If you know baseball, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't, just know this. If it works, it's going to put the Dodgers in a great position late in the game because they will have the right arms for the right bats that Gabe Kapler sends to the plate. We still have not seen the lineup for the San Francisco Giants. They are waiting until the last possible moment. The Dodgers lineup has been out for hours now. And I think now, you basically got Gabe Kapler trying to figure out what the next chess move is going to be, right, John?
Yeah, but I don't know if he'll fall for it. I don't know if they'll put all these righties, on the bench that were going to start when Julio was pitching. But here's something interesting. I've gotten at least two different tweets from people that have accused. I don't know if accused is the right word, but have suggested that what the Dodgers are doing, they point out race. They say they wouldn't do it to one of the white guys, meaning they wouldn't do it to Kershaw, Scherzer, or Buehler. Why are they doing it to Julio? Do you think that has anything to do with anything?
Oh, my God, no. I mean, that's the most astoundingly stupid thing I've ever heard.
I agree.
Julio has pitched out of the bullpen before. That's the reason they're doing it with him. Max Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw occasionally has. Walker Buehler has not. They've not thrown out of the bullpen. Julio has. He's got that experience. We've seen it as recently as last year. The color of his skin has nothing to do with the way the Dodgers are planning to get these 27 outs tonight.
That's what I think, too. I just find it interesting. You know, I guess there maybe is race in everything. It's interesting that two people... At least two different people.
John, repeat after me. Twitter is not real life.
Yeah, maybe.
Twitter is not real life.
Twitter is not real life. Woofed.
Yeah, I think we may have to lay off Twitter. I think Twitter is full of too many idiots.
There are a lot of idiots on there. Now, tonight, the Dodgers will be facing Game 1 winner Logan Webb versus Corey Knebel as the starter. Webb... In his starts at Oracle Park, the Giants went 13-0. He's got a .180 ERA at home. We saw what he did to the Dodgers in Game 1. He threw a season-high 38 changeups in Game 1. A lot of stuff down and away to right-handers. Dodger hitters chased a lot more than usual. He's kind of a two-pitch pitcher, changeup and slider. We did not see a lot of the fastball. I know that the Dodgers have been studying video. I know they're going to be much more disciplined at the plate tonight. The question is, does Logan Webb have to lean more on his fastball if the Dodgers start laying off the changeup and the slider that are out of the strike zone? Greg, what do you think?
They do need to stay out of it. That's exactly what they need to be. Patient. Very, very patient throughout because Logan Webb, if they get that low strike and they're swinging for the fences every single time that it's down there, it's going to be very, very long. But if they're patient, they will be able to take him out. Because you have to get him out earlier. He needs to be out before the fifth inning, right?
Yes. Yes. He's got to be. They've got to be able to get to him. Although I hate to say this, but I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think it's going to be I think it's going to be a one-run game tonight.
Most likely. I mean, what do you think Logan does? Do you think he comes out and tries to go with the exact same thing that he did in game one? Or do you think he's aggressive?
I think he becomes aggressive. I think he needs to attack the strike zone tonight. I don't think the Dodgers are going to swing at I don't think they're going to chase. I don't think they're going to chase. They chased a lot of bad pitches in game one. I don't think they will make the same mistake. I think everybody's going to have a plan going to the plate. I think there's going to be a lot more passing of the baton tonight as opposed to swinging for the fences. That's what I'm hoping for. And, John, I don't disagree with you. I mean, I've got no issue if Mookie sees an opportunity to steal second or Trey Turner sees an opportunity to steal second in a one-run game. I'm all for that. I don't agree with the idea of bunting a guy over, but stealing bases, I absolutely agree with.
All right, how about this for bunting? The game is early. It's 0-0. Yep. Trey Turner gets up there, gets on, steals second, takes third on a sack fly. Would you take one of the middle hitters, one of the guys like, I don't know, Bellinger, Chris Taylor, one of those dudes, and suicide squeeze? Because I would.
No.
I would not. You got to play the percentages, and the percentages are really low on a suicide squeeze.
No, they're not.
Sure. Look at if
what
you look.
They're not.
If you look, people would do it all the time if it was easy. I mean, I don't think I've seen a suicide squeeze this year. The percentages are low on a suicide squeeze.
Well, it depends if you have a good bunter up.
I think we need to figure this out. That bunting is not easy. It's not like you can just get up there and be like, oh, I'm just going to bunt on every single play. It's not an easy skill to have. You have to work really hard at it to be a good bunter. And for the most part, none of these guys are because they don't ever practice it. So you can't just throw somebody up there and say, hey, bunt. It's not that easy. You have to be the right type of guy.
All right. John, you would suicide squeeze, though?
Yeah, I would. In a one-game playoff, I absolutely would.
Okay.
By the way, I just looked it up. By the numbers, suicide squeezes are successful 65% of the time.
Really? Yep. Then why don't people do it all the time?
Because they don't want to take the bat out of the hands of their hitters.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to ask Will Smith to bunt a runner home. I'm not going to ask JT to bunt a runner home. Those guys are capable hitters who've been at this altitude before and know how to hit in big games. In fact, I would not be surprised if tonight's the night we see Justin Turner break out. He's been one of 17. He's among the most successful Dodger postseason hitters in history. I would not be surprised at all if JT is the guy we're talking about tomorrow. All right, coming up next, let's do some gambling. Let's do some gambling. Steve Fezzik is here, the Fez. What are the odds of tonight's game between the Dodgers and the Giants? What's the right side of that game? Let's see if Fez has anything on that. Plus, USC, UCLA, the Rams, the Raiders, all that stuff coming up for you. The Fez is next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome to the program right now from pregame.com, the most successful, the most important gambling expert in America. We've got him every week, Steve Fezzik, the Fez. Fez, what's going on, man?
I'm on pins and needles with this Dodgers game tonight. High drama, gentlemen.
Yes, it is.
So Fez, will that game tonight draw a lot of action in Vegas? Or if it's a one-game playoff and it's a baseball game, which doesn't get bet as much as football, will it just be another game? What's the action like tonight on a game like this?
If it had been Wednesday or Friday, it would have drawn enormous action. But because it starts after two college football games and the NFL game, it'll still be very much bet, but Tampa Philly will get more action.
What are the now? My understanding is the odds are very, very close for tonight's Dodgers Giants game. What is there an advantage one side or the other?
San Francisco is a small favorite. The bettors that I know, I'm not a baseball expert, so I rely on others. They love Webb. They love the matchup of Webb against the Dodgers, and they expect he'll pitch a very good game. However, they also love what the Dodgers are doing. Starting, I hope I get the pronunciation right. Is it Knebel?
Knebel, yeah.
Knebel instead of Urias. I was like, oh, thank goodness I don't have to try to pronounce Urias. But Urias should get in soon enough. So the wise guys that I know love what the Dodgers are doing. So they're punching the right buttons with starting the reliever. I think this is going to be 1-1 at the end of five, or 1-0 San Francisco, and then it's anyone's game down the stretch. Dodgers do have the better bullpen, but everyone's on deck.
All right, Fez, as you know, I'm a Raiders fan. Does the John Gruden saga and everything that happened with the Raiders this week affect their line either this week or moving forward? Does a coaching turnover, or in this case, the guy who ran football, does that affect odds in Vegas at all?
It's a great question, because historically, when a coach is fired, whether he was beloved or hated, the teams tend to respond. Wise guys like to bet on those teams, but this is a whole different entity. This is, in many ways, we put our trust in people in charge, and it is such a disappointment when we are let down in situations like this that I can't believe that this is a rallying cry. I don't like what the Raiders interim head coach, former special teams coach, said, namely, this is a great opportunity for me. For the team, not for you. I mean, obviously it is for him, but I couldn't believe he said that. I think that the entire town is just very unhappy and disappointed in the way that this has all played out. I can't believe that that's going to be a positive in any way, shape, or form.
So Vegas is an underdog at Denver. What's the right side of that game?
It can only look Denver open 3. The money is against the Raiders, up to 3.5 with the Broncos. And, we didn't see much fight at all from the Raiders. And I can tell you this, Carr lives right down the street from Gruden. They're very close. And there was a situation where Carr said something that wasn't popular with his teammates. I don't know if it was the national anthem related. I can't quite recall. But there was a game where the feeling was the O-line didn't block for Carr. And now I wonder, wow, with all this going on, I absolutely don't trust the unity of this team. I could only bet Denver.
We're talking to Steve Fezzik. Fez, one of the biggest games, probably the biggest game on the schedule this week, Chargers at the Ravens. It opened at 3. Pregame.com right now has the line Ravens by 2.5. What's the right side of that game, Chargers or Ravens in Baltimore?
If you can get the 3, and there are some 3s out there, I would look at Chargers. I am a game management freak. I follow it like crazy. And for years I've been disappointed with the NFL coaches and the announcers always saying, take the points, be conservative, kick the ball. And I'm almost like Willy Wonka in the original Chocolate Factory movie, where he sees Brandon Staley and what he's doing, and I'm like, I grab the everlasting gobstopper and I say, so shines a good deed in a weary world, because Brandon Staley gets it. I love everything that he does, and I agree with almost everything in terms of his aggressive play calling. Thus, I could only bet Chargers.
All right, so I've made a bet. It's a sucker bet. I will totally acknowledge that. I've bet $20,000 mythical dollars. We bet mythical money around here, Fez, as you know. I'm a huge Rams fan, and I have bet the Rams minus 10, is that right? Rams minus 10 over the Giants. Is that a sucker bet?
Yes. The good news is you can now get 9.5. The bad news is, well, if Mike Glennon, who I like to call the neck because he has a very predominant neck, if he plays, I think you're fine. But I think there's a good chance that Jones is going to play for the Giants. And frankly, I make this game 10 with Glennon, and I make it more like 7, 6.5 with Jones. Now, that'd be 100% Jones, which probably isn't the case.
Even though no Saquon Barkley, maybe no Kenny Golladay, maybe no Sterling Shepard, even with those injuries, you still like the Giants.
Yes, that running backs don't matter. I know Barkley looked good on a couple long receptions earlier in the year. But running backs, unless they're named Christian McCaffrey and they're great receivers, they don't matter. Now, the wide receiver cluster injuries are absolutely an issue, and I am worried about that. But it's adjusted in my numbers. So the bottom line is, you know, the Rams are flying high. I could see them coming into this game early, start time, long travel, perfectly happy winning this game by 7. If Jones goes, this number's going to leak. It has to come downward. It really comes down to, is Jones 100%? If he is, I think that the plus 10 on the Giants is a great bet.
All right, Fitz, last question before we get to your best bet, if we haven't gotten to it already. The Sunday night game is Seahawks at Steelers. This opened up with the Seahawks being favored by 2.5, and now the Steelers are favored by 5, a 7.5-point swing. Is that all Russell Wilson, or is it something else?
Well, I got Russell Wilson being worth 6 points. So okay, big downgrade to Geno Smith, and anyone that at Seattle, especially Seattle teasers, knows about how Geno threw away the teasers the other night after playing a pretty good game. And frankly, Seattle disappointed last week, and Pittsburgh played a really fine game. So 6 points for quarterback change, 1.5 for Pittsburgh looking good, Seattle looking bad, and boom, here we are. We're at the number. I don't really have anything in this. I will say this. I like West Coast teams, late start times, especially in the second half, body clock games. So I might take a position on Seattle at halftime and bet them in the second half in this game.
All right. There you well, go Dodgers is what we say around here. Go Dodgers, right, Fez? Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I bet the Dodgers plus 350. So nice. I survived St. Louis, and now I survived the Giants.
Hey, Fez, did we get your best bet, or have we not covered it yet?
We have not covered it. Let me hit it. New England Patriots plus 3.5. You know what? It's the difficult bets that oftentimes are the best bets. I get it. The Cowboys are 5-0 the way Vegas keeps score against the spread. Further, Dallas is a public team. So think about it. Do we really think Dallas is going to go and have like a 12-5 against the spread year? It's almost impossible because the point spread tax starts biting down hard on public teams like the Cowboys. The bottom line is the Cowboys should be laying 2.5 or 3 in this game, but because they've been playing so well, it's inflated all the way to 3.5. Patriots should get a couple of their linemen back from the COVID protocol. I think it's going to be a very similar game to the Tampa Bay New England game. Either team can win. Give me the 3.5. New England Patriots plus 3.5, best bet.
All right. Awesome. Hey, Fez, thank you very much for coming on, man. Glad you bet on the Dodgers. I feel like you're right. If I had real money, I would bet on the Dodgers for sure. Thanks for coming on.
Go Dodgers. Just survive the first 5 innings. The bullpen should bring it home.
There you go. All right. I like that. The Fez with his best bet, New England plus 3.5 over Dallas. And I've only got 2 bets this week, John. I've got 20,000 mythical dollars.
I'll do mine on the
got 20,000 mythical dollars on the Dodgers tonight, and I've got 20,000 mythical dollars on the Rams. I guess it's minus 9.5. Over the New York Football Giants. So 2 gigantic bets for me. I'm go big or go home. I've got to get back into this race. All right, coming up next for you, it is Lakers Ticket Thursday. Did you pick out John Ireland's lie today? We all think we know what it is. Do you know what it is? 877-710-ESPN. This is for a pair of tickets to be in a fancy suite to watch the Lakers versus Golden State Tuesday night in the Lakers 2021 opener at Staples. Do you know the lie? 877-710-ESPN. Mason Ireland, this is 710-ESPN. This doesn't just happen anywhere. It is Lakers Ticket Thursday all day long on 710 ESPN, and we've got a pair of suite passes, fancy suite, to see the Lakers versus the Golden State Warriors in the opener Tuesday night. You've got to be able to figure out the lie that John Ireland told on the show today. Jorge, do you think you have it?
I think I do.
Bergman, you think you have it?
Yeah, I got it.
And I think I got it too. So let's see what listener has got it for Lakers suite passes for Tuesday. Let's go to Amy in Alhambra. She's up first. Hey, Amy, how you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. I love you guys. And when I'm in Hong Kong, when I'm walking, I listen to you guys all the time.
Thank you for that.
John will never tell his wife not to come in and he won't move. He is not superstitious like that. He would never do that.
I'm sorry, Amy.
Oh.
That is not the lie.
Oh. Sorry, Amy.
Yeah. I'm that way. I'm like Mason. If I'm sitting in one place and my team's doing well, I ain't moving.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Amy. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Let's go to Ivan and Azusa. Ivan, you're on 710. What's up, man?
What up, Mason in Ireland?
Everything's great. So what do you got? What's the lie?
Trudell did not pay for dinner.
Ivan, that is 100% correct. Michael Thompson picked up the tab for dinner. Michael Thompson always picks up the tab for dinner, and Michael never lets anyone else pay. Trudell didn't even go to dinner, and Michael picked up the dinner for the six people, Michael Thompson. So you are the winner, Ivan, and we'll see you in the suite at Staples.
Yes, sir. Go Dodgers.
Go Dodgers. All right, Ivan, thanks, man. Stay on the line so we can get your information, and we'll see you Tuesday night at Staples Center. Thanks, man. Yeah,
hell
I knew.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. I knew as soon as you said it, Mike Trudell.
Yeah.
That's what I had.
Picking up the check.
Well, so you said make it obvious. Was it too obvious?
No, I thought that was a really good one. Okay. I thought you nailed it.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought you nailed it. I thought that was great.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, John.
As part of the Dodgers getting ready to play the Giants, Dave Roberts met with the media about 45 minutes ago. Here's part of what Dave Roberts said before this critical Game 5 tonight.
Corey's a guy that I expected to pitch tonight. And so just kind of changing up when he pitches is part of it. The Giants have been a tremendous ball club all year. And just speaking to the offensive side, they have been the best team in baseball as far as getting matchup advantages, platoon advantages. And this allows us to a little bit get a neutral pitcher who's done it, who's had success, who's all in on doing it, and potentially giving us some matchups going forward throughout the game. Talk to Julio. He's all in on doing it. He's done it in the past, last year in particular, where he thrived. And so when you talk with those two players and just feeling that it gives, again, gives us the best chance to win a ball game, and he's done it before.
And you know what? I agree. I'm all in on this move. I'm all in on the idea of Corey Knebel being the opener. I think it does give first of all, the Giants lineup still is not out. They're thinking about it. Far Anxiety and Gabe Kapler are trying to figure out exactly how to approach this. Do they put all their lefties on the field in the lineup, or do they go with right-handers knowing Julio Urias is going to be following and probably pitching the bulk of the ball game? Remember, back on September 3rd, Corey Knebel threw two innings as an opener against the San Francisco Giants, so it may not be just one inning for Corey Knebel, but I'm all in on this move. I like this move. I think it's the right thing. I think the key to the game is the way the Dodgers approach Logan Webb, and can they lay off the junk and cut their chase rate like they had in game one against Logan Webb. What's that?
Stand by. The lineup's out for the Giants.
Oh, the lineup
Stand
is
by.
Out.
Stand by. I'll give you the info.
Okay, got it. Greg, do you have the lineup?
I'm getting it. It was on SportsCenter. There we go. Okay, I got it. So batting first is Darren Ruff.
Right-hander.
He's in left field. Chris Bryant is in center field batting second.
Yep.
Austin Slater is batting third. He's a right-hander as well in right field.
Yep.
Buster Posey. This might be just be in order. It doesn't look like it's
right-hander.
Yeah, right-hander. This is all right-handers, basically.
It's all right-handers.
Yeah, Buster Posey, Wilmer Flores, Brandon Crawford is a lefty.
Right.
Evan Longoria, Donovan Solano, and then Kevin Gosman. No, that's
so
wrong.
So he didn't take
oh, this
the
is
bait.
Game
Kapler
this is wrong. This is wrong.
Bait.
No. This is wrong. This was game two lineup. Oh, well, Jorge.
What are we doing
blowing
here?
Blowing you. I'm saying it was you.
Hey, SportsCenter, man, not me.
Ignore that lineup.
That was not the lineup.
Okay, that would have been stacking the right-handers. But by the way, if they believe Julio Urias is going to pitch the bulk of the game, they could stack up right-handers like that against Corey Knebel. or they could go lefties. We still don't have the lineup officially. Please ignore completely the lineup that Bergman just gave.
No, that's SportsCenter put up, not us.
Whose fault? Who takes the fall for that, Bergie?
SportsCenter.
SportsCenter takes the fall.
Woofed.
Always woofed. Always okay to blame SportsCenter. All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games. It is Bergman's game today. And in the month of October, I've won twice. Jorge has won twice. Bergman has won once. Momo has won once. Clinton has won once. And Ireland yet to score. Now, you've been gone. So that you've got an excuse, but yet to score here, John, and $10,000 mythical dollars up for grabs.
Hey, Greg, is this a game where your name is your buzzer?
It actually is.
I'm dead. I may sit it out because I'm
no,
on,
don't sit
I'm
it
on
out.
A delay. All right. Well, I'll give it a college try.
Yeah, we'll try.
Okay.
All right. Game of Games is coming up next for you. Then we will give you one last look at tonight's matchup at Oracle Park. The Dodgers and the Giants both looking for their 110th win, and whoever gets it will be in the NLCS. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. It is Game of Games time, a far less important game than the one that's going to start at 6:07 tonight between the Dodgers and the Giants at Oracle Park, a deciding NLDS game. Winner goes to face the Braves in the NLCS. In the meantime, we called an audible. It is John's game today, and me, Bergie, and Jorge will be able to play this. John, what do you got?
Okay, so boys, this is the return of the alumni game. We haven't played in a long time. Here's how we're going to do it. I have a ton of these. So, Jorge, what is our out time?
Give me a minute.
All right, so I'm going to read a list of people
yep.
who all attended the same college. Your name is your buzzer. As soon as you know what college I'm looking for, buzz in. As I mentioned, I have several. We'll just play until we run out the clock. All right, so here we go.
Yep.
Number one is you. As soon as you guys think you know the school, buzz in. All right, here we go. Tobias Harris. Candace Parker. Peyton Manning.
Okay. Mason.
Jorge.
Oh.
Tennessee.
Tennessee is correct.
I got it in there, Jorge. I don't know about that.
No.
Okay.
I thought I had that, too.
No, you were late.
I'm on
Zach, or no, I'll do this one. Kristen Wiig. Andre Iguodala.
Greg.
Rob.
Greg.
Greg.
Arizona.
Arizona is correct, and Bergman's on the board. Nice. All right, the next one. Carl Weathers, Apollo Creed. Steven Strasburg.
Greg. San Diego State.
Correct. And Bergman takes a 2-1 lead. All right, here's the next one. Bob Dylan.
Mason.
Tony Mace.
The University of Minnesota.
Correct. Mace with a pull.
Oh, nice.
How'd you know that?
I think at some point we must have talked about it. Yeah, Bob Dylan at Minnesota.
We must have played it. Okay, so Bergman 2, Jorge 1, Mason 1. All right, here we go. Jaylen Brown from the Celtics.
Greg. Cal.
Cal is correct, and Bergman takes a 3-1 lead.
Yeah.
Gary Shandling. Steve Kerr.
Greg. Arizona.
It's Arizona again. I try to get sick of
that. Oh!
All right. Bergman with a 4-1 lead. Kind of convincing. All right.
Yep.
Joe Buck. Mark Cuban. Victor Oladipo.
Oh.
Quinn Buckner.
Greg. I think he went to Indiana.
He did, and Bergman.
Bergman, commanding.
But you got
commanding.
Time. All right. Yeah, you got time, though. All right, here we go.
Okay.
Joe Namath. Robert
Mason.
Horry.
Ooh.
Mace.
Alabama.
Alabama is correct, and Mason's within striking distance.
Kinda.
All right. Hannah Storm. Regis Philbin.
Mace. Notre Dame.
Notre Dame is correct, and Mason has 3. Greg, 5. Mason, 3. Jorge, 1. All right, here's the next one. Jorge, you're not doing much there. Lisa Salters, Keegan Michael Key, Saquon Barkley.
Mason.
Oh, Greg.
Mm.
Mace.
Penn State.
Yeah.
Penn State, and Mason's within one.
He's down one, not within one.
Within one.
And this is the one where he catches you. All right, here we go. Paul Allen, co-founder of Apple. Drew Bledsoe.
Mason.
Mace.
University of Washington.
Incorrect.
Ugh.
Jorge and Greg still alive.
Drew Bledsoe.
Clay Thompson.
Greg. Oh.
Greg.
Washington State.
Washington State.
Washington State is the correct answer.
I was so close.
All right. Eric Weddle. Andrew Bogut. Kyle Kuzma.
Mason.
Greg. Oh.
Mace.
Utah.
Utah is correct, and it's 6-5.
Woof.
Jorge is a woofed.
Paul Rudd. Joel Embiid.
Greg. Mason.
Mace.
Kansas.
Yeah.
Kansas, and we're tied at 6.
Yes.
Dick Clark. Bob Costas.
Mason.
Dave McMenamin. Mace.
Syracuse.
Syracuse, and Mason's in front, 7-6.
These are just for Mason.
Oh, all right, we'll do four more.
Woofed.
Get yourself off the map, Bergman. All right. Ahmad Rashad. Justin Herbert.
Mason.
Greg. Come on now.
Mace.
Oregon.
Oregon, and it's 8-6. All right, you need them both, Bergman.
God dang it.
Olivia Munn. Buddy Hield.
Greg. Oklahoma.
Oklahoma is correct, and it's 8-7.
Wow.
Bergman, let me see if I can find one you can get, and it would force a tiebreaker. All right.
Don't give me 70s, people.
I won't. Owen Wilson. Kevin Durant.
Greg.
Mason.
Greg.
Texas,
and it's 8-8.
Oh, let's go.
Wow.
This is it. This will decide it.
Okay.
All right. From Curb Your Enthusiasm, Jeff Garland. NFL linebacker Ray Lewis.
Greg.
The Rock.
Greg. Miami.
Miami and Bergman.
Oh, let's go.
Bergman, that was a great comeback.
Woo. Well, first he was up like 5-1, then I stormed into the lead, and then he ended up taking it. I mean, that was a dramatic game.
That was dramatic.
I thought he was on the ropes, and he made a good comeback.
So it's Bergman 2, Jorge 2, me 2, Momo 1, Clinton 1. Tomorrow, John, it'll be Bergman's game, so you'll have a chance to score.
I need it. A
couple things before we wrap up the show. I wanted to read a couple of tweets. First of all, everybody's talking about how this is disrespectful to Julio Urias, that they're going with an opener instead of starting with Julio. Here's what Dave Roberts says. He is the one guy in the rotation who the team believes can handle a change in schedule without an issue. Roberts says he views this as a compliment to Urias. Another issue. We talked about this a little bit earlier. This is Bill Shaken. As anyone knows who has followed the Dodgers closely, Dave Roberts does not have autonomy to make decisions like this alone. When you hear the word collaborative, this is a good example. So it's not Dave Roberts who's on the line. It really is Andrew Friedman. And Killian tweets, she's amused that the Giants fan base think this pitching switch is evidence that the Dodgers are run by a computer and the Giants are all by heart. They're the same, she says. They're exactly the same. And one last one. Vin Scully tweeted earlier, to my knowledge, tonight's game between the Dodgers and Giants is the most important game in the history of their rivalry with nearly identical records and so much at stake. I believe this to be the case. Bill Plunkett, apparently this was brought up to Dave Roberts. Bill Plunkett subtweeted, told about this tweet. Dave Roberts joked, now I feel pressure. God darn it, Vin Scully. Yeah, biggest game in the history of the rivalry. One of the biggest games I can remember. whoever wins their 110th game will advance to the NLCS. And it is an opener for the Dodgers, Corey Knebel. I'm in support of this. I vote yes on this move, John. How do you vote?
I don't like it, but I understand why they're doing it. If it works, it's a stroke of genius. If it doesn't work, they will be heavily, heavily criticized. And I was just thinking that this is on TBS, this game. This is going to be the most watched sporting event ever on TBS.
Yeah, without question. Without question. Bergie, what's your final word on Corey Knebel as the opener?
I'm okay with it. After hearing about it over and over again and really thinking about it, I'm good. I'm happy with Corey Knebel doing this and letting Urias go deeper into the game.
Jorge, you're the biggest Urias fan we have here.
Urias has done it before. Came in as a reliever. He's going to do – we're going to get a W tonight. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. And I've got my Julio Urias bobblehead right here with me. At Jorge's advice, I'm going to put it right by the TV. I would imagine Julio Urias will be in the game by the third inning. By the third inning, he will be in. You could get two innings from Knebel. They've done that before. But by the third inning, it will be Julio, and I think he'll get the win tonight. It is, this is nerve-wracking. It's nerve-wracking. I mean, Dodger fans, I feel it right with you. I am just as big a Dodger fan as you are.
So Max Scherzer has come out and said that he told Dave Roberts to use me however you see fit tonight.
Can you imagine? Mad Max coming out of the bullpen. Hey, could happen. Could absolutely happen. All right, John, I've found a new way to end the show. I want to let you know how I'm going to do it here. Here we go. Okay, it's coming. It's coming. This is the new way to end the show. That's it for Mason in Ireland. Thank you very much for joining us. For John Ireland, producer Greg Bergman, associate producer George Briones, and our whole crew, I'm Steve Mason. Good night, everybody, and go Dodgers!